pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening. Still to come on the program from Yellhammer News, we'll have Sean Ross join us. I want to stay tuned for that. Give you a little teaser what we got coming up tomorrow. Big show for you tomorrow. As always, we have Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News joining us. But Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida's 1st Congressional District, he's got a book out, Our Neighbors to the East. I know you know him. He's on Fox News a lot. Looking forward to that. But Congressman Matt Gaetz will be with us tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And probably a couple of guests to be named later as we're still putting tomorrow's show together. Join us now on the line, a friend of mine. I like to get him on Talk Politics. Also call him out, emphasizing the importance of the Supreme Court opening on Alabama's U.S. Senate race. Paul DeMarco joins us from Jefferson County Republican Party, also former state legislature. Paul, how are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you doing today, Jeff? I hope y'all are recovering well on the Gulf Coast of Alabama.
It's in process, and to be honest, I think they're making a lot better progress, even though, not to underscore the severity of it, than I think they had prognosticated.
Well, everybody across the state is thinking about you guys. I know there's been a lot of first responders. I know the Hoover Fire Department sent some folks down and all over, so we're ready for y'all to recover, and anything the rest of us in the other parts of the state can do to help, we want to do.
It's very kind of you to say, Paul. Let's get into the politics of what's going on. Not that we needed any more intrigue or another wrinkle here, but Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing on Friday last week really has changed things in a big, big way.
You know, add this to another chapter of 2020. Just when you thought you could write the book, or getting close to write the book on 2020. Yeah, this, and let's just think. There's still three more months left in 2020.
We'll get through it, but, you know, this might be... At first, I was like, wow, the Republicans don't need this distraction. It's going to be tough for Susan Collins. She's still having to answer questions about Brett Kavanaugh right now. But the more I think about it, and you look back at 2018, and just I think the Democrats really mishandled that situation, overplayed their hand, and it cost them in the 2018 midterms. This might be something that really could get some wind in the sails of the Republican Party nationally.
Well, it is, and that's why I think we want to move forward with this confirmation and have this vote for the election. I see it's the opposite of the way some other folks say, oh, let's wait, not put them in a position. No, let's move straight forward. Let the Democratic Party in the year 2020 really show where they are when it comes to these issues, which the party's become so far left. So let this come to the forefront, and some of the bias and religious discrimination, I mean, already the anti-Catholic rhetoric coming out before we even know who the nominee is, that if it ends up being Amy Barrett Comey, is already being shown. So let's put it out there. Let's get the nominee named this weekend, and then move towards an election before a nomination and confirmation before November 3rd.
I mean, doesn't it seem that whatever, when it was Obama, Bush, Clinton, whenever one of their Supreme Court appointments get confirmed, that president gets a little bit of a bump out of it?
I think Republicans are very disappointed. And look what the Republicans said in the past. When you've controlled the president and the House and the Senate, what did you get accomplished? So now it's like you've got the Senate and the presidency. Move forward. I mean, wasn't that always the complaints in the past? Well, the Republicans are in charge, they don't get it done.
Right.
And you can't say that about Mitch McConnell and President Trump, that they've had the opportunity to move forward with one of the most important aspects of that relationship between the Senate and the president, which is confirming the president's nominee. And so move forward. The election may be in November, but you're still in office. There's no, you know, oh, your time runs out just because there's an election in a few weeks.
No, and
move forward.
You know, if they punt, you really, I think, upset a lot of Republicans. And I don't think you're going to punt. I think it's pretty clear that it's full speed ahead on this. But the argument that Republicans should wait till after the election, if they went along with that, they maybe make a few Democrats happy, but you got to get your clock clean at the ballot box. It's a no-brainer to be aggressive and decisive right now.
Let's look at some of these races. Let's look at the chair of the judiciary, Senator Graham. What is that state and the majority of those voters going to think if he puts that off, as opposed to if he moves full bore ahead and said, no, we're moving full bore ahead? We know they're going to say, why wouldn't you? Why didn't you? After what you saw and witnessed and participated in the terrible defamation of character that occurred from the Democrats when it came to Brett Kavanaugh, move forward, move ahead, confirm this nominee. It will mean a lot in a South Carolina race to move forward as opposed to hold back.
And I think the only, perhaps it will impact Collins in Maine, but I'm not even convinced it will up there. I think that, every single time she is up, she's on the endangered species list, but she always pulls it out. I'm skeptical that this is going to be an Achilles heel for Collins in Maine.
Well, I agree with you, and any of us who have been to Maine, it's a very unique state. And I was up there and I talked to some legislators. She has really connects with the voters in Maine. And no, she's not as conservative as a senator from Alabama or South Carolina, but for her, she reflects the Wilder voters. And remember what she did with Brett Kavanaugh. She was a confirmation. So I agree with you. They may feel like they have a strong candidate, but, based on her long-term representation and that the folks love her and what she's done for the state, I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think they got to get it done. Like I said, if they don't get it done, you got to have dispirited Republican voters. That could have an impact on the election. But it does seem that when you get this through, that this could give some momentum to the president. And we're told he's down. But I think this is I think this becomes something that can advance the campaign and put it in position to get into a reelection.
Well, look at somebody like Cory Gardner in Colorado, who's in a very difficult race. He's not backing away. I mean, he's saying, no, let's move forward with this, because I think from his perspective, he's saying, this is why they're voting for me, why I have an R by my name, to move forward and not to be timid, to move forward with this vote. And so, to his credit, he's not taking he's saying, let's move forward.
Yeah, and there's the danger here is appealing to that middle too much, that you lose the base, and then it becomes the net effect is it goes the other way for you, and you lose more than you gain by trying to play it, quote-unquote, safe.
Right. I mean, look at our neighbors in Georgia where you've got these Senate races. I mean, those Republicans are saying move forward. And I think that will move voters and further get the Republicans saying, this is what we expect from our elected officials. Just like the Democrats are doing the opposite, trying to block, those voters in Georgia are saying to these two Senate candidates, move forward. This is what we want to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is curious, though. I when you watch the news reports, the media, and they try to act like this would be just such a breach of protocol that it's going to set our democracy into a tailspin, that we can't do it this way. It's just absolutely absurd. I find that to be, I think it's just dishonest. I think it's just maybe not meant for a guy like me, but more meant for somebody left of center, their own Democrat voters.
Well, you're right in the dishonesty that, okay, the Trump presidency ended in the year 2020 because there's an election in November. So he no more negotiations, no more appointments, no more being president until unless you're elected. And then that may go on and on and on. Look, look what's going on in Pennsylvania with their Supreme Court. The deadline to get in the ballots was Election Day. Now they're going to extend it a week, even if it's not postmarked. I mean, that's what happens when you have activist judges. Look at what's happened in Pennsylvania. When you have activist judges who say, well, the law says this, but we're going to interpret it to say something differently. And that's why these judicial appointments are so important, to have a constitutional conservative who's going to read the Constitution as opposed to look for something out there. And that's what just happened in Pennsylvania with the Supreme Court justices. We don't want that on the Supreme Court.
Isn't that something that the U.S. Supreme Court would have to deal with, perhaps, if you have a situation where one of these ballot laws is challenged on legal grounds on a federal level, and then you don't have a full court, and that opens up the possibility of a tie or something? I mean, you are really looking at turmoil that could have been prevented with just having an appointment, having that judgeship filled before that potential legal challenge takes place.
Well, does anybody not think there'll be legal challenges? Of course there's going to be so many legal challenges. There's going to be so much disruption. They're already lining it up. The Democrats are lining up. This is what we're going to do with this and this, and Hillary Clinton saying, don't concede. So you've got an opportunity to fill a seat. The president's going to make a nomination this weekend. It can absolutely can be done. It was done with other folks, including Sandra Day O'Connor. Wasn't she maybe 33 days? And Justice Ginsburg, wasn't she 42 days? So this absolutely, the process can take place before the election.
Yeah, and you know, this might like frustration with this. Why don't we just have an honest conversation? Republicans want the justice on there because you have a somebody that has that conservative or whatever you want to call it judicial philosophy, and liberals they had the head of the ACLU or whatever Ruth Bader Ginsburg was, a far left wing activist on the court, and they hate to lose that, right? I mean, that's what this all really honestly boils down to.
Oh, I mean, you're right in making the point. Let's just be honest about it. I mean, there's no question about it. And if the Democrats were in the same position, you don't think everybody would be having the same arguments on the opposite side? Of course they would.
Yeah, I want that strict constructionist judge or whatever on the court right now. I don't, none of this stuff about protocol and what's been done in the past and any of that, I think really is relevant only to those who are trying to find some kind of justification for saying we shouldn't go forward, we shouldn't proceed with this this nomination and with this confirmation. And it's giving the narrative to the other side, but let's just call it for what it is.
Well, the Democrats, they can't make that argument when Harry Reid got rid of the filibuster, and they say, oh, we have to have these precedents and norms. Well, y'all are the ones talking about court packing, and y'all are the ones that are talking about getting rid of the filibuster and all this and the simple majority vote. So don't talk about that when the Republicans are simply doing what you would expect them to do, and you would do the same. There's time to make. There's a vacancy on the court. The president's going to make a nominee. Then it needs to do their job and confirm that nomination, and it can be done before the election. It's real clear. It's real simple. Get the job done.
And finally, Paul, we'll get you out of here on this. We talk about the U.S. Senate race. I mean, I think Supreme Court or no Supreme Court, Tommy Tuberville is in a very good position to be the next United States Senator from Alabama. But this is just this, I think, for those, well, whoever out there is left, it was a little skeptical about Coach Tuberville being a U.S. Senator. Suddenly, they may be on board, and it's the margin of victory for Tuberville over Senator Jones is probably going to, I would say, increase. That the polling has, it looks like it's increasing in that direction as well, and that's what this seems to me going to be the effect of this vacancy on that race is going to be.
Well, you're right, Jeff, because it further sharpens the contrast between Democrat Doug Jones and Republican Tommy Tuberville. It further shows the difference between what would happen when it comes to the votes. We already knew that when Senator Jones blocked Brett Kavanaugh and sided with this, again, I'm going to use the word defamation of the character of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And so when you have Senator Jones, again, vote against this nominee and go along with all this, what's that's going to go on. And you know that a Senator Tuberville would vote to confirm and will further vote to confirm other of President Trump's nominees after the election. That tells you why the majority of Alabama voters are going to go with the Senator Tommy Tuberville.
Paul, gotta get out of here. Folks want to find you on social media. Tell them where they can look.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Paul DeMarco and on Facebook. And then my columns are online with different newspapers around the state of Alabama. Look
Paul,
it up.
Thank you for making time for us. Hopefully next time you're down in Mobile, we'll get you in studio.
Look forward to it. Have a great day.
You do the same, man. Paul DeMarco, ladies and gentlemen, chairman of the Jefferson County Republican Party, former state legislator. Going to take a time out here. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.